Hi, everyone. Thank you, Charlie, for that introduction. Yeah, I'm on my L plates for as a granddad. Her name is Bailey Bell, and she's so beautiful. And yeah, she's, I think, 12 weeks old now. And I've revisited the Wiggles, and I'm learning some of their tunes. Skidamarinky-dinky-dink. I'll sing it for you, but I won't. I'll embarrass everyone. Welcome to those online. It's going to be a great morning. If you can, if you've got your Bibles, just grab them. Today we're going to, I've got about 10 verses or 10 readings that I want us to do. We're going to get into the Word of God. I love what God says about His Word. He says that He watches over His Word to perform it. And that what that means to me, He doesn't watch over my word. So as much as I would like to, I don't know if I could, entertain you and keep you engaged with my wisdom, limited as it is, I believe that the Word of God is so powerful. And the Bible says of it, it says it's alive and it's powerful. And that's the thing. When the Word of God... Please don't let our time around His precious word, because this is literally who Jesus is. This right here, we're going to have insight into who He is. That's what He is. He's the Word of God. So every page speaks of Him. So when it comes to the Word of God, let's not just switch off and start scrolling through our phones and, you know, think about what's happening afterwards, or think about what's happening here, or who you had an argument with, or who you didn't like, or whatever the issue is, or who do you like, and hopefully you can chat with them afterwards and all of that. Let's just set our souls right now to seek His face. Amen. Can we pray together? You can just bow your heads where you are. David says this to himself. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." So we know that we can speak to our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, our imagination. So right now, let's just take authority over that. And let's just go into that in prayer. Father, we speak to every part of our being. We do not take lightly the precious Word of God. It reveals Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing that. It reveals the heart of God. So Father, as we gather around Your Word, we thank You for the outpouring of wisdom. We thank You for the outpouring of insight. We thank You for the outpouring of revelation that will be transformational in our hearts. I pray that this will not just be entertainment or infotainment, that Lord, that this would be transformational, that the Word of God, which is alive and which is powerful, that Father God, it would literally go and dissect between the marrow and the bone, our intent, our heart's intent. And we know that, Lord, our hearts can be deceitfully wicked above all else. But so we thank You for the Word of God like a scalpel that will come and that will penetrate and that will cut away the things that are not of You and leave that which is of You. And that, Father, that will renew our hearts and You renew our minds so that we'll not only, Lord God, know about You, we will know You. And we will know that and we'll be transformed into the image of God. So, Father, we thank You for the Word. We bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be very quiet with me today. All right, we're gonna work. So, again, this is an equipping space. So, Sunday mornings is information, yep, and it's Word and that. But this is where you are equipped to do the work of the ministry. Okay, that's part of what the gifts were given to the church. It was for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And it goes on in Ephesians there, I think it's in verse chapter 3, where it says that they will declare the many sides, the many facets of God. Guess where to? Guess who to? Principalities and powers. And so there's an authority that's based in your life through the Word of God. But let's not just go for the Word of God giving us all the power and the energy and the charge to go do these things for God. The Word of God brings about who He is and who the heart of God is and how He loves you. Nothing's changed from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. And so He's given us His Word. He's given us His Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is going to encourage you today to see Jesus. All right, let's go to our first reading for the day. Let's go to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. Is there a photo of a guy that I sent through? Let's go to God's word first above all else, and then we'll come back to the photo. You can put the photo. Oh, you can't do the photo and that. We'll put the photo up after this. Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Clint, here we go. Colossians chapter 1, 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Turn to your neighbor and go, you are transferred. Oh my days.
You're transferred.
So I want you to say it with a bit of faith. You are transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So that means you are transferred into Jesus, okay? And his preceding that is this prayer that he's praying about the completed work of Jesus Christ. And so 13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. I was in a place, you were in a place, our families were in a place where we were separated from God, and He brought us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We are transferred. That's a high five for the person right next to you. Go, you're transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And Jesus speaks about Himself as being the light of the world. So from darkness to light. That's where the transformation has happened. That's where the transfer has happened. And you know what? The enemy has tried to remind you that, no, there's still darkness in you. And it's like, you know, Jesus hasn't done the completed work and you still need to get good and better and you need to pray harder in order for you to be accepted. That is the lie of the enemy. Because the Word of God says that Jesus Christ has completed everything and He has brought you out of the power of darkness and conveyed you into the kingdom. And that's what we're going to speak about, being kingdom catalysts. In verse 14, in whom we have redemption, we means we have been redeemed, which means we have been paid for. Our sin has been paid for. Listen to this. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. For the wages of sin was death. And the wages of sin separated us from God. And the wages kept me in darkness. But God, by His divine power and by His divine love, I don't think there is any more powerful thing than the love of God. And the love of God, that beloved me said, He said, listen, I'm not going to leave them in darkness. I'm going to transfer them into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son that I love. And I'm going to do this through the blood and forgiving their sins. Aren't you glad that your sins are forgiven? Your sins are forgiven. Like, we're forgiven. It's been paid. The debt's been paid. And I know that because, like, we're Christians and we know we get into Christian white noise. Like, yeah, my sins are forgiven. But do you know that Jesus, the judgment of God was put on Jesus Christ because of our sin? See, when God speaks, it becomes law. And He says, hey, listen, you guys are going to eat of this fruit? You'll surely die. They didn't die physically, Adam and Eve. But death came. And that's where the darkness was. And He comes in with His amazing love. And the vehicle of that is through His Son. And He says, I'm paying for this. But no, they deserve death. And you can imagine the enemy accusing. They deserve death for everything they've done. They don't love you. They need you. They only use you because they need you and what they want. And He goes, no. I love them. And I'm going to die for them. And I'm going to give my Son as that payment because my word said that sin requires punishment or requires justification. There needs to be justice for sin. How can a God that's so loving be punishing? Because it's who He is. He's a God that's holy. And so sin required punishment, but then Jesus stepped in the way. Could you imagine being in court and you were found guilty and the punishment was death? And Jesus stepped in that moment and says, I'll take it. And he took the punishment, the judgment of God upon himself so that you and I could be free. So when we read about that, he's forgiven our sin through the preciousness of his blood. That's enormous. That's huge. You are free to be everything that God has designed you to be and live in the Son of his love. Let's go through to 3 to 15. Let me take a run up through 14. We got distracted. In whom we have redemption, been paid in full through his blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, for the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Could I ask someone just to grab me? Is there a glass? Have you got a glass or someone if you can run out and just grab a glass? Thank you. Someone's already doing it. Appreciate it. And while we're getting the glass, can we show you the photo of a guy? So this was this was probably around about now, the 27th of December. And David, a good friend of mine and is the executive pastor of a church in North Bay, the Spanish church. That's his dad. I call him Pastor Rogelio. And on the 20th, so this is around about the 26th, 27th of December last year. And on the 20th, because the 21st is my birthday, that's why I remember it, just in case you need to write that down. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. I got a call 10:30 at night just to say, Pastor Clint, the doctors have just met with us. Earlier in the year, he told me that Dad has stomach cancer. But he was being treated. He was doing good. Earlier that day on the 20th, probably the 19th, he had a fall the 19th, had a fall and fainted. I mean, he's a very fit guy, all of that. It's not sort of that he's frail in any way. And then he started coughing up blood. And so then they rushed him to hospital, did some more tests. And so by the time he called me, they just got the results back. And so there was a lot of internal bleeding and blockages throughout his system. The cancer had spread. They said, there's nothing else we can do. Probably just bring the family in. It's probably time to say goodbye. And so two of the sons were working FIFO, so they were away. They were coming back the next night, but it was probably going to be too late. This is 10:30 at night at Joondalup Hospital. So raced down to Joondalup. We got there. On the way down, I'm thinking, okay, God, what do we do? And I heard Pastor Steve and Pastor Yanami speak about we want to honor them as well. Just love you guys. Thank you for the opportunity to be with your amazing church. And I'm driving down. I'm going, God, what am I going to be doing here? Am I consoling this family or are we going to fight? And I felt to fight. And the way that I felt to fight wasn't like, oh, I'm going to just go in there and fight and not read the room. The way that I felt about that was because of the scripture that he gave me. He said, the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. Okay. And so I said, all right. So I get to the door, he lets me in, we're walking towards his dad's room down the corridor, and I said, Dave, just wanted to know, what are your sense, what do you feel, are we praying, are we fighting, what do you do? And before he could even answer, I said, I think we need a fight, and this is the word that God's given, so if you don't mind, let's just have a go, nothing to lose, literally, we've got nothing to lose. Oh, maybe my ego and embarrassment, and because everyone's crying, literally, people are lining the corridor and crying. So here comes this, whatever you think you are, shouting and screaming in a room over a man that's only got a few hours to live. And so we just went in and we just began to pray. And that's all we began to pray. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of Jesus. And people, first of all, it went from crying to quiet to then engaging. And we prayed and we prayed. So 10 minutes. And then I stepped out of the room because people were wanting to come and, you know, say goodbye and share their greetings. Then around about 11:30, we went back in, just did another prayer to release people to go. And then I left. I said, please ring me through the night. If anything happens, anything changes. I didn't get a call. through the night. Woke up at 3 o'clock, woke up at 4 o'clock, didn't see anything. Woke up again early in the morning, and then didn't hear anything. 10 o'clock, didn't hear anything. 12 o'clock, didn't hear anything. So by me not hearing anything, I'm going, good. Because they gave us a couple of hours. This has moved on. He would have rung. I said, oh, but then you know your mind goes, oh, but maybe something happened and they're in grief. They're not going to ring you, Clint. And then he rang me later that day and just said, Dad is doing so much better. The doctors can't believe it. They're going to start doing treatment again because they stopped all treatment, all feeding, all water, all of that sort of thing. And then this was the photo that he sent me about 5 days later. This is Dad walking down the corridor of the hospital from his room and with the little note there saying, thank you, Jesus. The God that we serve is a God of miracles, signs and wonders. But it's not based on our ability. It's based on our belief, what you believe. And that's what I really feel God wants to challenge us today. And anyway, all right, we got lots of scripture to get through. What time do we need to be done? 9:53. Oh, my goodness. We got till 10:30? PM, I think that was what he meant. Sheesh. All right, 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. I really feel that, hey, guys, God's really wanting you to just find him in his word. That's the word that I have for you. Find me in my word. Because we know the cross, we know the blood, we know all of that. But he's wanting you to find him in his word because he actually wants to meet with you there. And so that, I think that's going to be really, really exciting. So Matthew chapter 6, I'm jumping all over the place. Let's go 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you should hear my head right now, it's just it's amazing. Yeah, good. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to start at 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to flesh. How I see people. I don't just see them in the natural. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, underline or circle the word in Christ, that's where your position, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And in that very verse right there, we could really speak about the new creation aspect, the new people that you are. And in that verse right there, there can be in a moment of time in meeting him, there can be a lot of the old things that have happened to us in our life. Because read it, if we just read it again, and it says there, where was that? Old things have passed away. See, remember, we're transferred from darkness into light. But see, sometimes our mentality is that we've transferred in, like in that space, and like we're Christians now, but I brought all the stuff of my history and my past with me into the light. And so that's evidence, and that's true for a lot of people. But in what Jesus Christ has completed and what he has done is that all things have passed away. So when I step into that new creation, of what he has, the life he's given me, not the life that I'm trying to live to impress him, the life that he's given me in Jesus Christ. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, he gave me his life in exchange. So the life that I now live, and it says that in Galatians, the life that I now live, I don't live by anything else, but by the faith in the Son of God. So we have this life in Jesus Christ that's available to each and every one. And it's not just about miracles, signs, and wonders so that we can go, hey, listen, this happened and all. Aren't we impressive? No, it's because this is the life he's called you and I to live, and we're meant to be bringing his light into the darkness of people's situations. And so you're anointed. But if you don't know that, you'll never do it. And you'll always be about yourself. You'll always be self-centered. You'll always be self-preserving. You'll always be going, that's not what I do. No, it's not about what you are. It's about what He is in you and where you're positioned. You're positioned in Christ. And the life you now live is you're living by faith in the Son of God. So the life I live now is by faith in the Son of God. So that whenever there is a dark situation, guess who is there that He brought with His anointing and with His power? You. What about those mindsets and the abuse of the past and the hurts of the past and the brokenness of the past and all of that stuff which seem to follow us like our closest companion, and they walk with us every day, stealing our peace, stealing our joy, and anxiety speaking louder than anything else, and our fear speaking louder than anything else, and we go to a point of, God, please help me not to be anxious. And God's saying, hang on a second, you pray, but you pray amiss. Oh, but you, God, you sort of can get it. No, He says, I watch my word to perform it. So when we pray, He says, the word that when He's speaking about being anxious is not just a counseling session. It says, be anxious for nothing. It's a command. But if I don't have the word in me and I don't trust Him and I don't believe that all things are passed away because my experience and my history is speaking louder than what His word is, then what I will do is I'll doubt His word. I won't live in the truth of His word. I'll live in the mental assent of His word. But then I'll come to a point in my faith that says, listen, yeah, God, you're not. He won't fail. Yes, He did. He won't fail. I can't sing that because He did this in my marriage, or He did this in my family, or He prayed for someone and then died. See there? It's contending for your faith. That's your warfare. Don't worry about the enemy. The enemy's after your faith. That's what He says, fight the good fight of faith. What is faith? Faith is what I believe. And if I don't have the word, if I'm not exposed to the word, I can't believe. I can have mental assent, but then in having that, it's powerless. So we have a faith that's good Christianese, good Christian stuff that we do. We fill it with form and formula and serving and doing, and that we want that. But I want us to be serving from a place of faith and authority. And it's not just willpower. Sorry, I'm spitting all over the mic. Sorry. What it is, it's literally the Word of God becoming flesh. He did it as an example. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. But then He goes, you know what? That's not good enough. He says, now I want to live inside them. I don't want to just walk around them and be in that same space where they're. I actually want to live inside. He says, that's why the new covenant says, hey, I'm going to write my laws in your heart. If you have my words and my commands, I think it's in John, says this. And if you obey them, my Father, that's how you love me. That's how we love God. If we have His words and if we obey Him. If I have your words, my commands, and I obey them, then you love me. And my Father will love you. And I will love you. And we will make our home with you. And we will manifest ourselves to you. What? Oh, no, but you know that thing that you did. Oh, you know, but that didn't go right. And you know that, oh, but, you know, because Pastor Charlie, and you know, he gets his knickers in a twist. And I was offended by that. And I was offended by that. Stop! Your life is no longer yours. The life that we live by faith in the Son of God. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to say to you, it's a deception. You can have faith. You can be in faith. You can be surrounded by faith. But it's not living on the inside of you. All right. We good? All right. Oh, I hope you're going to get through all of these. There's like 15 different first references. I hope we're not going to get through all of it. I'll give you the tip. So we were in 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though, and look at it, your eyes even change. When you're a ministry catalyst, or when you're a what is the word? Ministry catalyst, not ministry catalyst. Kingdom, thank you. I have a role with SC Scripture Union 2 days a week. And actually, the role is called a ministry catalyst. That's why that came out, sorry. But a kingdom catalyst. That when we are in this space, we regard no one according to the flesh. We all see people in the potential of God's hand. Come on, from the person that's laying out on the street to the person that you're working with, to the multimillionaire, wherever they are, let's ask God for the eyes to see them. No longer just in the flesh space, but see them in the potential of the hand of God. God can do something in and through their lives. Amen? Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet we now know him. Verse 17, that's where we are. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us. In the context of that scripture, if you read the first previous parts of chapter 4 and 5, but we don't have time to unpack that just now. But knowing that all things are from God, who has reconciled. Turn to your neighbor and go, reconciled. Okay. Now, all things are from God. Who has? So God has done this. Okay. Listen to the characters in the scripture, who the people are. So he says, therefore, as a result of everything that God's done or Christ has done, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, now we're talking to people that are in Christ, he's a new creation, yep. And then verses 18 goes, now all things are from God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It just means reconciled means you're put back into right relationship with. Write that down. Put back, because you're writing this down because this is going to become your job description as a kingdom catalyst. To reconcile someone means to put them into this context, to put them back into right relationship with God. So Jesus Christ, by his death, his burial, well, his punishment, his death, his burial, and then his resurrection, put us back into right relationship with God. Isn't that good news? All right, I'm going to throw water on people if you don't talk. I'm just joking, I won't throw water. Although I actually did it once. So he's put us back into this right relationship with God. You are, right now, as you sit here, you are in right relationship with God. He's not mad at you. He's not angry at you. He's not distant from you. God himself is in right relationship with you because of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad about it? I am so thrilled about that, because that means like, man, death can't separate me from God's love. And I get to have a relationship with God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. For me, that's like happy days. So that's why, you know, all the stuff that we get so caught up with, and even the Christianity that we live, that is just so much about form and function, man, it doesn't compare to the power of the relationship that I can have right here, right now, with our Heavenly Father. That's why we know when Jesus died and he says the veil was torn, that we could enter into the Holy of Holies. And it's not because we've earned it. No, it's because the blood of Jesus speaks that better word for us that is spread on the mercy seat. And when the blood of Jesus is spread on the mercy seat, the Bible says in the tabernacle, so we're all over the place, that the power, the glory of God would fall on in that place and the fire from heaven would come. So if that's true in the tabernacle, that's true right now for every single one of you, because the mercy, the blood of Jesus Christ is on every single one of your lives. And guess what? Death has to pass over. And that also, not only just death passing over, as the Egyptians did when they painted the blood on their doorposts, but there is the glory of God that is falling on your life. To be a kingdom catalyst, understand this, is not just doing stuff. You do because you know that I am. His mercies are new every morning. Like, mercy means I should have got punishment, but I didn't. He was merciful. And he took my place, and his blood now speaks for me. Oh, but God, you don't know. My blood speaks. But God, I did this. My blood speaks. But God, my blood speaks a better word. And then the glory of God falls on that. Just lift your hands for a moment. Father, I pray the revelation of bringing us from darkness into light is never earned by us and our ability to be good. But we are so grateful for the blood of Jesus that literally was taken all the way to heaven and placed on the mercy seat in heaven. And that's how you view us now, God. You don't view us through the lens of sin and disobedience. You view us literally through Christ. When you see us, you see Christ and everything that he's done and paid for. So we are free to live everything, every part of our life for you. In service of you, in serving others, in loving you, in loving others. And I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, that your glory would fall on every heart and every mind. Oh, just the fire of God would come. The fire of your power, the fire of your love. Let the glory of God fall upon every heart and every mind. In the name of Jesus. Literally, fire is just burning away. There's some mindsets that God's literally burning away right now. Oh, even right there, in the area of your mental health, literally the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. Whatever the ailment in you is, the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Let your glory fall. Your manifested presence. Your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Young man, can I grab you to come and stand up here for a sec? Just grab the glass. Thank you. You're going to stand there so they can see. And your name is?
Kevin.
Kevin. Kevin's a lad. Can I just hold it up? Hold it up nice. Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Kev. Can you hold it so that people can see the water in it? Okay. The illustration of what we're about to show you. This is the source, water bottle, yeah, and I poured it into the glass. One of the names of God is Abba Father. And that word means he's the source. As you become a kingdom catalyst, don't live as you saw the glass before in your ability to do it on your own. Position yourself where the source can pour into you. Abba Father, the source. Say to your neighbor, the source. Okay, he's the source. Now, some people are going, he's the source. Like, no, he's the source. Where it comes from. So that's why when he's talking to his disciples and they go, can you show me the Father? Can you show me who that is? And Jesus says, listen, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because he says, listen, everything that I see the Father do, I do. Everything I hear the Father say, that's what I do. Jesus is the most amazing kingdom catalyst that we could ever see, follow, and be. But he realized that unless it was from the source, he could do nothing. So Abba Father, the source, within pause in. This is what Jesus and what kingdom catalysts are. When we go to the source and he pours in every day. And I believe it and I live it. So that when people see us, they don't see a person. They don't even see a church, but they see the Father. Everything that your Heavenly Father has done is so that you can be in right relationship with Him. Why not? Why not? Because if we're not positioned, sorry, I'm going to damage your carpet for a bit. Is there anything electrical under you? See, if the source is there, but I'm not positioned in the Word, I'm not positioned in my prayer with Him, and just doing life with Him, being aware of Him every moment of every day. Doesn't matter how much He's got, how much love He has, no matter how power He is, I'll never be filled. So today He wants to fill us. Thanks, Kevin. Can you put that there? Thank you, my man. So can I get you to stand? Thank you. We're going to pray. I had a really good message planned for you. It was great. And I think, well, my whole deal is Holy Spirit, you know them. And whatever you want to say, this is your meeting. Prepare, plan. If you were given the microphone, Holy Spirit, what would you say? And I think He wanted us to realize just how valuable you are. But not valuable so you can feel good about yourself. You are a kingdom authority. There's an authority on your life. But it's not based just in the authority to go out and do. And that's probably what I feel. This was more like, let's go, let's take the mountain. He just wanted to strip it back and go, let's just start here. Just let Him know the power of my love. Yeah? Isn't that good? Just like your Heavenly Father. He knows you're going to do stuff. But He wanted you to be brought back into right relationship with Him. And I really feel that there, God's restoring family relationships that aren't right. Why? Just because He's going to be in you. Literally, because He's going to be in you. He's going to do that. He's restoring relationships, restoring that. He's releasing, relieving a lot of people from your past right now. Past church hurts, past hurts, past brokenness. Because He says, you're positioned in Me. And I've got you. But God, I want them to feel the pain. And I want to pay them back. And no, no, no. I've got you and I've got them. Can you release? Can you give that to Me? That is you right now. Just begin to lift your hands. In fact, let's all just lift our hands, eh? And in your hands right now, at whatever level that is, you are just saying, God, I'm lifting up my stuff that I've carried with me from darkness into light. And I'm surrendering it to and under the blood of Jesus. Come on, there's just freedom right there, right now. It's not about you feeling different or better. It's just that you're being obedient to His word. Darkness cannot survive in light. Freedom, healing, wholeness. In the name of Jesus, I speak to your soul. I command your soul. I command your soul. Be made whole in the name of Jesus. Stop living in a place of unforgiveness because it's taking from you what He has and who He is. It's living in a place of disobedience, if I was to be openly honest. He's wanting to perform His word, but because of that, He can't. He's blocking Him. It's unfair and unjust, not right. I get that. So does He. But what He has on the other side of forgiveness for you far outweighs the hurt that you've experienced and the brokenness that you're living in today. Release that to Him. And I see that you're going to be this, literally this conduit. God is bringing it in you, but it's going to flow out into every relationship around you. That's what a kingdom catalyst is. It comes in you and then it floods out. It comes in you, then it shines out. So Father, thank you right now in the name of Jesus for wholeness. Father, break every chain. There it is. Literally, it's just breaking. It's dissolving right now. It's dissolving right now. It's dissolving. Yeah, there it is. Just literally dissolving away. Father, I command you, according to your word, that Lord God, you would heal every heart. That Lord, you would free every heart. That you would free every mind. That you would free every person here today. Every ailment, everybody is going through some sickness or disease in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. One more thing I'm going to get you to do. Just grab someone's hand next to you. The Bible says where two agree touching anything, it shall be done. If it's a bit weird grabbing someone's hand, just put your arm on their shoulder. When two agree, scripture is touching anything. That means just being of one mind. And this is the prayer that God says, if you'll touch in agreement with someone, in uniformity, in unity, in harmony, and you will ask, that which you will ask, it shall be done to them of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 18, 19. So heaven is waiting for our agreement in order to release the promise of God. Notice again, it says, two shall agree. That two touching anything shall agree. On earth, touching anything. And they'll ask, and it shall be done. So this is about you praying for the person, that the hand that you're holding. So we're going to begin to agree that God right now, begin to just touch and begin to just pray. That Father God, we set agreement. If there's agreement, Lord God, for every disease to come out of their body, for every disease to dissolve and disappear, then Father, we set agreement right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we set agreement, Lord God, for peace of mind. We ask right now for the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We set agreement over that for them right now in the name of Jesus. We agree for supernatural provision, Father God. Supernatural provision, Father God. We set agreement for that right now in the name of Jesus. We set agreement, Lord, for restoration of relationships, reconciliation of relationships, of families that haven't spoken for years, that God, in the name of Jesus, that you would bring about harmony and wholeness and forgiveness and healing in the name of Jesus. We agree that the power of the Holy Spirit will fill them with the power and the overflowing of the love of God. We set agreement, Lord God, that you will add to this church daily those that are to be saved. We set agreement, Lord God, by holding each other, and we set agreement that the will of God would come alive to them, that the word of God would come alive to them, that the prayer of God, the prayer of the Holy Spirit would liven your spirits. We set agreement in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Bless you, God. Awesome. Great. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Yeah, come on. Yes, he's awesome. He's amazing.